We want to bid you warmly welcome to our morning service. We welcome you to the Lord's house this Sabbath morning in the Saviour's precious name. We're thankful for the opportunity to renew fellowship with each one of you. Just to read the words of John 21, verse 15, details of an event after the resurrection of the Saviour. It says, "So when they had dined," this is the Saviour and his disciples, "Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." And it's especially those words at the end I emphasize, in keeping with our message a little later, he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. So may the Lord write those words upon our hearts today. The Psalm 100 is our opening praise. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. The words of the 100th Psalm will stand as we sing, please. Just take a moment to prepare our hearts as we enter into the Lord's presence. Father, we're glad that we can come to Thee in prayer. We ask Thee to teach us to pray, lead us on a little farther with Yourself today in the things of God, especially at the throne of grace. We think of the words we have just sung together, "Because the Lord our God is good." And Father, we acknowledge Your goodness to us. Your word teaches that we experience that goodness every day that we live. Goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. We thank You, Father, for Your goodness to us in this past week. Every blessing that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you, Father, for providing for us all that we have needed. We can say you've given to us every day our daily bread. And Lord, we acknowledge you have given to us all that we have. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness and neither shadow of turning. So Lord, we want to thank you for supplying our every need in these very difficult days. And Lord, as we face the future, we do so with our confidence, our trust in thyself. Better to trust in the Lord than to have confidence in men. We pray, Father, you'll increase our faith even as we feed today upon your word. We ask thee, Father, to increase and strengthen our faith. We pray that you'll enable us even to lift our eyes heavenward. Many things in our own lives, many things in the land, across the world, to cause us fear and consternation. Remember that the scriptures tell us that in the end time that men's hearts would fail them for fear of those things that are coming upon the earth. But Lord, we want to pray, help us to keep our eyes upon thee. We pray that we'll see the Savior today. We pray for a sight of Christ in the scriptures, in your word. And we pray too, Father, give us a sight of the Savior, even as we gather for a little while around the table. We pray that that might be a blessed and a hallowed experience. May the Lord himself come and sit with us. Lord, we would plead, we ask thee today to come and be amongst us in both of these services this morning. May your presence be known. We pray that it might be felt. We pray that your presence will fill this house. Lord, come down today and visit us in such a way that everyone that is present in this meeting will know that this is the Lord's house, that the Lord is here himself. Lord, we pray that even the little ones, the children, right up to the oldest member of this congregation, will sense the Lord amongst us as his people today. Lord, as we think of your goodness, your word says that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And we would pray, give us eyes to see every day your goodness to us. We thank you today most of all for your goodness to us in Christ, your mercy, your love, your great compassion to us, that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son to be our Savior. Lord, we want to thank you that our sins are forgiven. We thank you that we're found in Christ today. We rejoice that we know him. Thank you for the assurance of salvation, that these things are written, that you might know that you have eternal life. We want to thank you, Father, for the prospect that we're going to see the King one day in all his glory, that we're going to be in heaven for all eternity. Lord, we rejoice in all the great spiritual blessings that you've bestowed upon us in Christ. And Lord, as we thank you for your mercy to us, we want to remember those in the meeting, those in our families that still have no hope for their soul, no hope for eternity. Lord, we pray that you'll speak in our meetings today, speak even in this service to those that are out of Christ. We pray that these might be soul-winning meetings held in thy house this very Sabbath day. Remember the gospel service tonight. Lord, we're praying, bring in visitors, send in others, send in people from this city for the very first time. Lord, we pray, move by your Spirit, draw those into the meeting this evening who are concerned, those whose hearts that you have been dealing with. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll come down tonight and save a soul, even in our midst. May some soul taste and see that the Lord is good. Thank you for all the meetings of the past week. Thank you, Father, for your hand upon the children's meetings, the Sunday school and Bible classes, the youth fellowship. Thank you, Father, for prayer answered for each of these meetings, for an encouraging start to this new season. We can say it's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. But Lord, we commit the future into your hands. We pray, Father, increase that burden upon our hearts for the souls of the children, the young people, Give us a greater vision to go after them for the Saviour. We pray that a mighty work for God will be done among the boys and girls even. Father, write upon our hearts this exhortation of the Saviour to feed the lambs. We pray that you'll renew just that burden, that desire for us to evangelise the children, the young people of our city and of our community and of our families too. Lord, we again bring our nation before thee. We thank you for how you've blessed this nation. We thank you, Father, for the liberties that we know even to meet together here today. We thank you for the peace there is in this land. We want to thank you, Father, for the good word of God you've given to us in our own mother tongue. Bless the preaching of the gospel across this nation. O God, be gracious to us. We acknowledge freely, Father, the dearth, the barrenness, the deadness that there is. And Lord, we need thee to come. We need the intervention of God. We ask that you'll come down upon us, come down upon these meetings, come down, Father, upon the work of God across the nation at this time. Lord, we think of our nation in mourning. We're saddened by the death of our Queen. We ask thee to remember her family. We pray, Father, that they would be conscious of your presence. We pray that they'll find comfort in your word and comfort in the truths of the gospel. We pray that even at this time that members of the royal family would be spoken to about the things of God, about the need of their soul. Even as Moses exhorted those many years ago, we want to pray, Father, that they would be wise and that they would consider their latter end. We pray, Father, that might be so of hundreds, even thousands of people across the nation and across the world, even at this time, that as a result of the death of our Queen that is so prominent, Lord, it will cause people to think of their own mortality in the light of God's great eternity. Remember those funeral services tomorrow. Lord, we want to pray that in some way that there would be something said that would be a clear testimony to Christ and to the power of his gospel. Lord, we ask you to hear our prayers. We're conscious just of the deadness of the Church of England, the liberals that are amongst it. So few, Father, in prominent positions that would speak forth clearly and forthrightly for Christ and his gospel. But Lord, we know that you can overrule even in all of these things, that a message would be spoken not just to the nation, but even to the world at this time. Lord, hear our cries. We ask thee to abide with us today. And Lord, bless us in your house. Bless every part of this meeting. May we know the aid of God. And Lord, we ask, just come down mightily by your Spirit upon us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read together in the Word of God. We're in the book of Joel, the Old Testament Scriptures. Joel chapter 2. There's a little section that we want to read together. We're beginning to read at the verse 12. Joel 2, the 12th verse. Let's hear the Lord's word. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breasts, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savour shall come up, because he hath done great things. We're just going to close there, the end of that 20th verse. And we're sure the Lord will add his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. We welcome you to the Lord's house. We welcome you on behalf of the office bearers of this congregation, and we welcome you in the Saviour's great name. If you're visiting, we're glad that you've come to join us for our service this Sabbath morning, and our prayer is it will be a blessing, that you'll know the Lord's presence in the meeting today. And we pray that each one will know the Lord draw near and be conscious of God's speaking voice to our hearts. We also welcome those that are watching our service on the live stream. We're thankful for the ministry that's conducted over the internet. We pray that the service might be a help and an encouragement to your hearts as well. There has been an encouraging start to the new season of the Lord's work, especially among the children and the young people. There's been a very good attendance at all of the meetings during the past week, and we're thankful for that, thankful for prayer that has been answered, and very thankful to all that have helped with all of the various meetings. Just to highlight, there will be communion this morning, immediately after this morning service. We encourage the Lord's people to wait if your circumstances allow that. Just to emphasize that we are planning to recommence the Lord's table monthly on the first Lord's Day of each month, again from the month of November. So just to make you aware of that at this stage. So there will be the Lord's table this morning, and then, God willing, from the first Lord's Day in November, it will recommence on a monthly basis. Remember the service tonight, 6 o'clock, the prayer meeting downstairs in the church hall. We invite you to come. We would certainly be glad of your fellowship. We would value your prayers. Remember the importance of that. 6:30 is the gospel service. We're going to take up the theme tonight of the King's testimony of salvation. So come along to the meeting this evening. We encourage you, just make that effort to come out to the service tonight, and bring others, encourage others in your family to be present as well. The meeting's during the week, Tuesday at 7:15, the children's bright hours, both here in the church and also out at Killaloe in the band hall. Remember the need of workers. We impress that upon you. We encourage you to get involved and help with the children's works. Wednesday night at 8:00, the midweek meeting, the prayer meeting and Bible study downstairs in the church hall. The speaker on Wednesday night is one of the Whitfield students, Jonathan Jordan, from the Macrofeld Church. I'm up in Macrofeld speaking at the youth mission in the will of the Lord on Wednesday night. So come along to hear our young brother Jonathan Jordan Wednesday evening. 8 o'clock on Friday night, or Friday night is the Youth Fellowship. They're going to go down to Macrofelt to give a little bit of support to the youth mission on Friday night. Any of the young people that would like to go or are planning to go, contact Matthew or Hannah about that. If you need transport down to the meeting in Macrofelt, and they'll make known the arrangements and tell you the time and so forth. Next Lord's Day, the 25th of September, Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:40, the morning service at 11:30, and the evening service at 6:30, the time of prayer at 6 o'clock. The preacher next Sunday morning is young Matthew Eccles. Matthew's a licentiate minister of the presbytery, and the preacher in the evening is our brother Glenn Hamilton from the Ballymena Church, fourth-year Whitfield student. Glenn will also tell you a little bit about his recent visit to Kenya. He and the family were out in Kenya for 5 weeks in the early part of the summer. I'm preaching down in Kilskerry next Sunday morning. It's their annual conference. They've asked us to come down and speak on one of the subjects, and then it's the final meeting of the youth mission in Macrofelt that I have to bring the message at. So we value your prayers for all of these meetings, and remember all of these brethren that are coming to conduct the services just in our absence. The harvest services are this day 2 weeks, Sunday the 2nd of October. The preacher in the mornings are brother the Reverend Stephen McRae from Ballinahinch. The preacher in the evening is the Reverend Timothy Amarod from Six Mile Cross. And the singer at the night services, our sister, Mrs. Natasha Atchison, from the Ballygown Church. Please make all of those meetings known, and plan to be with us, and also encourage others to come along. It's always a good opportunity at the harvest to invite along visitors. On the Saturday morning, the 1st, that's the day before the harvest, we'll be getting ready for the harvest services. The church will be open that Saturday morning. And there's also going to be a church clean-up. So we ask for a good number to come along and help with all of those various tasks. There's a number of things, especially we'd like to do outside on the grounds. So please plan to be with us, and come along and bring your tools and implements and so on. That would be a great help to us. Just to make you aware, we will be recommencing the prayer meeting before the morning service on Sunday the 2nd of October, the beginning of October. That's the harvest Sunday. So this day 2 weeks at 11 o'clock in the morning, recommencing the prayer meeting before the morning service. Also, the parent and toddler group will be recommencing at the beginning of October. It'll be held on the 1st and the 3rd Monday mornings of each month. Contact our sister Laura Gardner just for more details, and if you can help with the parent and toddler groups, so tell others about that, and again pray for the Lord's blessing to be upon it. Also, just to make you aware that there will be an election of office bearers that will take place in the springtime next March to elect both new elders and also to re-elect the church committee. So we ask you to make that a matter of earnest prayer. Please take it upon your hearts. Pray for the Lord's guidance. We'll give you more details about that as time progresses, and especially nearer to the time. We want to give you good notice of that, especially if you're not a member, that you would have an opportunity to join, become a communicant member of the church before that election will take place. That would enable you to vote in the congregational meeting that night. So we do encourage you, if you've been a faithful member of the church here for a number of years and have not yet joined, we'd encourage you to become a member. And if you'd like to do that, speak to me about it as soon as possible. The special offering that was taken on Wednesday night past for the Presbytery's Education Board, the Reverend Priestley was here showed us a video and spoke, brought a word of challenge with regard to the children as well. That came to £237. So we thank you sincerely for your giving. Remember, you can still add to the offering if you didn't have opportunity to do that on Wednesday night. The Macrofield Mission, the youth mission, started last night. They're holding it in what is known as the Involve House. It's a community facility in the centre of the town. There was maybe 70 or 75 young people there last night. Good spirit in the meeting. A good number of visitors that were present. Their young people sang, and one of the young people gave a word of testimony. Remember, we're sharing. They have allocated various nights for the Reverend Foster and myself to preach at those meetings. There's a meeting tonight, and then every night of this incoming week, I'm down tomorrow night, Wednesday and Friday, and then again next Sabbath evening. So we do value your prayers for those meetings. The Accolade Church is having a youth rally tonight at 8:45. The singer's Miss Charlotte Cackey. The speaker's Mr. David Johnson, the Reverend Johnson's son David. And he's speaking on the subject of Christians in sport. So that's down in Accolade tonight at 8:45 for the young people. Just to remind you, the Irish Ploughing Championships taking place this incoming week in County Laois between Tuesday and Thursday. So the outreach will be up and running there again. It's 2019 since the last time the Ploughing Championships took place. That was a record-breaking year, over 300,000 that were in attendance. So pray for the outreach team and pray for all of the literature that goes out. If you're down, visit the stand and encourage the brethren. Remember, they'll be serving the free tea and coffee and biscuits and buns and so on. That's a good way to encourage folk in and then to engage in conversation with them. Because of the Macrofield Mission taking place this week, I'm not able to go down to be a part of that outreach team as we usually do. The Dungannon Church, just to remind you, has cancelled their annual ladies' convention. They have rearranged that for the end of next month. We'll give you those details a little nearer to the time. But there is the meeting this Friday night in the Tandragee Church, the ladies' praise service, Friday the 23rd at 8 o'clock. The singers are Faith, Jerusha and Larissa. Remember, they sing together in a little group. And also Miss Amy Hill from the Tandragee Church. And the speaker is Mrs. Cherie McRae, the Reverend Stephen McRae's wife. So remind the ladies of that if you can. Go along to Tandragee on Friday night. Finally, just a couple of events the Youth Council have asked to be announced. Next Saturday, they're doing outreach at Windsor Park Stadium. All young people are encouraged to come down and to get involved. They're meeting outside the Tyndale Church at 4:30 in the afternoon. And then next Saturday evening, there's an informal Bible study at 7:30 in the Martyrs Memorial Church. And the Reverend Ian Brown is going to speak on the subject, if the Bible alone is inspired and sufficient, why read beyond it? So that's for the young people next Saturday. We encourage you to get involved in all of those activities. We're going to sing together, please, from the hymn 688. It's a hymn about the children. When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own, like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. So 688 will stand to worship, please.
Like the stars of the
Let's just bow together before the Lord in prayer. Yeah. Father, we ask thee to remember the office bearers of this church. Grant them help and wisdom. May your blessing rest upon their labors. We want to pray, Father, for all the leaders and workers in every department of our church. We pray encourage them in this new season. We pray for the wisdom of God to be granted. We pray, Father, that the direction of the Lord might be known. We want to pray that you'll undertake in every department. And Lord, we pray that you would cause the work here to advance and to go forward. We ask you to hear our prayers. Send in new people to the services. Bring in new families, new young people from this city round about. Lord, we look to thee. We recognize that except the Lord build the house, that they labor in vain that build it. We commit, Father, all of these announcements, every activity, everything that is planned into your hands. We know that your word says that whereas you ought to say if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. And Lord, we're conscious that all that is planned, even in our own lives, is subject to thy divine will. So we commit ourselves on this Sabbath morning, the first day of the weekend, to your hands, asking you'll be with us, preserving us in all that we do or going out and coming in. We ask now, Father, for a word from yourself. We pray, break the bread of life to us. We pray, Father, give us a word for this time, a word in season. Lord, answer these, our prayers, and may the Spirit of God descend. May your presence be felt. And Lord, may we know of a surety the Lord is the one that is speaking to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in the book of Joel, the second chapter, and the 16th verse. The verse says, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breasts, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. It's a little statement in the middle of the verse where it says, gather the children. There's an exhortation been made to bring the people of God together, and the children are included in it. Gather the children. So the theme this morning is a focus on feeding the lambs. We want to focus on the children and the young people of the church, the families of the church, and of the community itself. Back in the 19th century in the United States, there's a very well-known man called John Wanamaker. He was a good friend of the evangelist D.L. Moody. John Wanamaker opened what is believed to be the first department store ever to be known. So he was very busy in business. That was in Philadelphia. He was also, for a number of years, the Postmaster General of the United States of America. So that was a very high-profile position, a very demanding responsibility. And in addition to all of that, John Wanamaker ran a Sunday school that was believed to be the largest Sunday school in the United States at the time. There was over 1,000 children, hundreds of boys and girls came along to it every week. Somebody once asked John Wanamaker the question, with all the business demands, the demands of office upon you, how do you get time to run so large a Sunday school? Well, his answer is very challenging. His answer was, my business is Sunday school. And I want to emphasize that to your hearts this morning. If we lose sight, brethren and sisters, of the importance of the work among the children and the young people, then one day this church will die. And we need to consider that, face that reality. I want to broaden out John Wanamaker's statement a little this morning and stress to you that as a congregation, our business is young people. Our business is Sunday school. Our business is children's work, reaching the boys and girls for Christ. In the words of the scriptures, in the words of our text this morning, our business is to gather the children. That's what youth and Sunday school and children's work is all about. So as the winter work begins, we need to renew our focus, especially coming out of the pandemic, the COVID pandemic. As this new winter's work begins again, I want to encourage this congregation to be involved in gathering the children, gathering the young people for Christ into this house and into the various works that we have for the children and the youth. As we do that, brethren and sisters, there are some things that we need to remember, some things that need to be emphasized. As time allows, we will impress some of those upon your hearts this morning. The first I'll mention is passion. We're thinking here, in other words, of passion and love for the souls of the children and the young people. Think of the question, why do you work with children and with young people? Why do you want to be a Sunday school teacher, youth leader, children's meeting worker? Is it to love the praise of men? Is that the motive? What's uppermost in your heart and mind? Or is it the love of the souls of the children and the young people? You say that you love to speak to children, and that's good. That's important. That's necessary. But let me tell you what's more important, brethren and sisters. Loving the children to whom you speak. There's maybe many things about the up-and-coming generation that you don't like. There's maybe many things about children and young people today that you don't like. Many things that you could say about them. But here's a challenge for all of our hearts. Do you love them? Do you love their souls as we ought to do as the people of God? You remember that story that Mr. Moody liked to tell? There's actually a very interesting book, biography, about the life of D.L. Moody, and it's called Love the Men. And that was a mark of Moody's life and ministry, not just among the adults, but among the children. That's what made one of the most significant differences in his ministry. Moody loved to tell the story of a boy in Chicago, and he came to their Sunday school. And then his father had to move house right away to the other side of the city, 5 miles away. But that young lad every Sunday morning walked the 5 miles to come to Moody's Sunday school. He said he walked past at least 30 or 40 other Sunday schools to get to their church. One Sunday he met a lady who was out rounding up a few children for the Sunday school in her church. She had seen the lad before. And she asked him, why do you go all the way over to Moody's church? There's other Sunday schools that are every bit as good. He said, they might be every bit as good, but they're not every bit as good for me. She wanted to know why that was. And the answer he gave was, they love a fella over there. Even as a child, he could see that. He could discern it. It was the love that was shown that won that fella and won that young lad to come to the Sabbath school. So here's where we start, brethren and sisters. Here's one of the great keys, the great secrets to work among children and young people, the love. And we need to pray that God might be pleased to give to us a greater love for souls in general, but especially the souls of the young people. Remember the story of the rich young ruler went away without the Savior. And the Bible says that the Savior, looking upon him, loved him. The love he had for a lost soul, that young lad. May the Lord be pleased to give it to us, brethren and sisters. Think of the Savior. It says when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion upon them. Are we ever moved in that sense? Does it ever deeply weigh upon your heart when you look out upon the multitudes of people, the multitudes of children, and think of their lost souls? A love for lost souls. The Savior had it. He displayed it. Let us have it. The same, brethren and sisters. The Savior said, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. I want you to ponder those words. Pray the Lord might write them in your heart today. It's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones, one of these children, one of these young people should perish. God has a heart for children and young people, and we ought to have the same. So a passion. The second thing I'll emphasize as we think of gathering the children is the matter of piety. Do you remember what Paul said to Timothy? Take heed unto thyself. So the message there is, you need to be careful about your life. You need to be careful about the way you conduct yourself. You need to speak with your life as well as with your lips. And how important that is, brethren and sisters, in every aspect of the Christian life, but especially when you work with children and young people. Remember the little eyes that are upon you, the little eyes upon you in church, when you're conducting the meetings and so on. The little eyes that are upon you in town. Maybe you meet those children, those young people, someday unexpectedly. It's good to be reminded of that. The Scriptures speak about being an example of the believers. So just think of the challenge that brings to our hearts today. Be an example for those children, those young people, to follow. We sometimes talk about a pattern. If you do a wee bit of dressmaking, you use a pattern, you follow the pattern. And that's what the Lord wants us to be as Christians. He wants us to live a life that others can follow. Children like to mimic. I remember doing that myself as a child in Sunday school. So think if the children were to mimic your life. Would you be happy? Would you be content? Would you be pleased with how they perceive you, how they mimic you, how they set you forth? So that the challenge, brethren and sisters, is live so that you wouldn't be afraid if they followed you in all that you did and in all that you said. So passion, piety. Think of the matter of prayer. It is vital in every aspect of the work of God to pray. Let me stress that to you again this morning. And if every Christian should pray, how much more those that are involved in the Lord's work, how much more should they give time to prayer? Need to pray for the Sunday school work, the children's works, the youth works. And I want to encourage that right across the congregation. I especially want to encourage it among those that are involved in all of those different aspects of the outreach of the church here. Pray in the prayer meetings on a Wednesday night. We're glad to hear those prayers that ascend for the children's and youth works and the Sunday school and so on. Let me encourage you in that. Let me encourage you to do it more in coming days, that God will bless it. Remember, we have not because we ask not. Can I stress to you that the leaders, the workers in all of those departments, Sunday school, the Bible classes, the children's meetings, the youth work, everyone that's a leader and a worker, you need to be at the prayer meeting of the church, setting that example as well, but also to pray for the work, to spread it out, to pray for your labors, to pray for that department of the church in which you play a part, that God will bless the work in which you are involved. Let me encourage you to pray for the youth works and children's works in private. in your own quiet times, in the closet, that special time, even set aside a special time to seek the Lord specifically for your labors and the work in which you're engaged. And let me bring the challenge as well to the whole congregation. Paul said in the 2 Corinthians, ye also helping together by prayer for us. So here's a way that you can help as well. Lift these departments of the church up before the throne of grace. Pray for the children. Pray for their souls to be saved. Pray for the families from which they come. Many of them are troubled families, great challenges for those children in their upbringing. Josiah Welch, the son-in-law of John Knox, up one night late, crying to the Lord, and his wife was concerned about his health. She went to see where he was. He said that he had 3,000 souls under his care. Very large parish, large congregation. 3,000 souls under his care, he said, and he knew not how it was spiritually with many of them. He had that burden upon his heart, and he brought it before the Lord at the throne of grace. So encourage you to pray. Pray about the meetings, the classes. God will bless them. Pray that the Lord himself will be present and his power will be known. Pray for the lessons and the messages, that God will give you help as you prepare them. And remember the importance of preparation for meetings. If you fail to prepare, you're preparing to fail. There's no doubt about that. Need to put in the preparation, the time, the work, to prepare for the work in which you're engaged. And then pray for God's help, that the Lord help you in that preparation, and he'll help you to deliver the message or the story that he has given to you. Let me remind you, brethren and sisters, that children's work or Sunday school work, youth work, is not just about preparing and speaking. It's about praying too. There will be no blessing, there will be no fruit without the prayer. We know that, and we believe it, and we speak about it. But the question, the challenge is, do we practice it as we should? The apostles said, we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Think of prayer first. We will give ourselves to prayer and then the ministry of the word. So I pray the Lord might challenge you through that, the importance of prayer. The high priest in the Old Testament, he had the names of the tribes of the children of Israel on the breastplate. And whenever he went into the holy place and the Holy of Holies, he brought those names, the names of the children, and think of it upon his breast, upon his heart. He brought those names before the Lord. And we need to do the same. That's an example for us to follow. Bring the children, the young people, bring them before the Lord at the throne of grace. Think in the fourth place of the importance of pastoral work. Remember, you're a shepherd over that little flock that the Lord has given you charge of. David, the Bible says, of him as a lad, he was keeping those few sheep, just a little flock. Well, there's a picture there. The Lord has given you the same. And I encourage you to do some pastoral work. If some of the children are absent, especially for a few weeks, then inquire. Ask after them. If they've been unwell, well, send them a card. Make a phone call. It'll encourage the child, and you can be sure it'll encourage their parents too. They will see your love, see you're concerned, see you have an interest in the well-being of the family, the well-being of the child. There's nothing that can replace that personal touch, brethren and sisters. If there's a sickness that's prolonged, maybe the child has been in hospital, maybe go and visit with them, go and see them. The New Testament teaches that responsibility to visit the sick, and that rests upon us all. And I know the challenges that COVID have brought and still brings with regard to such visitation. So remember, brethren and sisters, that we can do a little bit of pastoral work. That's a role that you can be engaged in as you lead and as you work and labour among the children and the young people. Mr. Moody, he talked about drumming up boys and girls. Some of you that were at the prayer meeting a few weeks ago, we talked a little about Moody's work among the children. Remember, that's how he started in the Sunday school work. They wouldn't give him a Sunday school class. They said there was no Sunday school class for him. So Moody wasn't to be deterred. He went out and he rounded up his own Sunday school class. Do you have that sort of burden, vision, zeal to reach the children for Christ? Go out and drum up a few more boys and girls for your class, your meeting, in which you're involved. It's not just about turning up on the night and hoping that there'll be somebody there for you to speak to. Remember, it's a wee bit of effort, a wee bit of work, a mind to work, as Nehemiah spoke about in his labours in the city of Jerusalem. If you can't teach, and we recognise, we understand that not everybody is gifted, not everybody feels confident to speak and to take part publicly. But maybe you could go and invite a few, speak to a few, bring a few along to the meetings. So shepherd the little flock, brethren and sisters. Understand that as a Sunday school teacher, a children's worker, a youth worker, you've also a pastoral role where you can display your love and care and concern for those that are in that meeting, in that class, that the Lord has given you responsibility for. The final area I'll mention as we think of gathering the children is the importance of persevering. There's not a doubt, brethren and sisters, you will be discouraged. We live in very difficult, discouraging days as far as the Lord's work is concerned. You will be downcast in your labours. Remember that you'll not be the first that will find yourself in that position or that condition. Think of David. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Think of Elijah, the great man of God, and he wished for himself that he might die. Think of John the Baptist, the doubts, the uncertainty in his mind. Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Many of the great servants of God have had discouragement. They've had disappointment. Mr. Spurgeon, in his lectures to the students in his college, he had a lecture on the preacher's fainting fits. I would encourage you to get a hold of that lecture and to read it. You'll profit from it. You will be encouraged by it. There will be discouragement, brethren and sisters. The devil will see to it. That's one reason why you need the armor. Even in the work among the children and young people, we're in a battle. Is that not especially true? Does the Lord not need to open our eyes to see that in the day in which we live? We're in a battle for the children and for the souls of the children. The devil will want to discourage you, be in no doubt of that. So there's an armor that God has given to us, a helmet. The helmet's to guard our mind, to guard our thoughts from all of those thoughts the devil will want to put into your mind to discourage you in your labours. You'll be discouraged about the small numbers. You'll be discouraged about the lack of results. You'll be discouraged that you don't see many saved, that there's not much influence as a result of your efforts. Remember, brethren and sisters, Noah didn't have spectacular results, but he was faithful to God for a very long time, 120 years. And we need to be the same. We live in the same days that Noah lived in. Remember, the Bible teaches that the end time days will be the same as the days of Noah. So he's an example. He's a pattern for us and our labours. He was faithful. The book of Corinthians says, Paul writing to the believers there, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. May the Lord find us faithful, brethren and sisters, every day, in every situation. There's a hymn that says, give me a faithful heart, likeness to thee. Whatever else the Lord gives to us, whatever other gifts and talents he's pleased to bestow upon us or not bestow upon us. May the Lord give us all a faithful heart to be faithful to him in the work he has given us to do in the days in which we live. Brethren and sisters, be faithful. And remember, God doesn't always let us see all the good that we're doing, all the ways in which he's blessing our efforts. If the Lord did do that, one of the results would be we would get full of pride. The need is the teaching of the Scriptures to walk by faith and not by sight. I know you'll get discouraged about your feeble efforts. You'll feel that your work is so poor. You'll think there's days the story or the message didn't go well. There's days that you'll be speaking and you will think that nobody's listening. I'm sure we've all had that experience. But remember, the children take in far more than you imagine, far more sometimes than you give them credit. Mr. Spurgeon said one time that he went home from a meeting and he felt in his own heart that he'd preached what he described as his worst sermon ever. We could hardly imagine a man like Mr. Spurgeon preaching a sermon that we would describe in that way. But he said the Lord taught him something through that meeting, through that experience. The Lord taught him the need to pray. It's not all about the preaching, the speaking. He said he prayed more about that meeting and he prayed more about that message than he'd prayed about any other. And he found out later how the Lord had used it, even though he felt it hadn't been that great to begin with. So it's a lesson, brethren and sisters. The Lord can use even our most feeble efforts. We have to carry on with the work and seek him for his blessing. What that sort of meeting does when you think you haven't got on very well, it keeps you looking up, not looking in. It keeps you trusting in the Lord. It brings you to that place that you never get puffed up and think, well, it's all about me. It's all about my ability. Look at the great person I am, my talent, my personality. That's the reason why this work is going on. Sometimes the Lord has to sort of deflate you a little bit and cause you to look up and realize, no, it's not because of you. It's because of him. The Lord keeps us looking to him and trusting in him for the blessing. Remember Mary? She did what she could. And brethren and sisters, that's all that God requires of any of us. Just to do what we can. We may not have, and I recognize that and feel that too. I don't have the ability of others. I don't have the ability that some of you have. But all the Lord requires of any of us is just to do the best we can in the circumstances in which we're in and with the gifts that he has given to us. So I encourage you this morning, persevere as a congregation in your labors, whatever department you're involved in, even if it's not one of the children's works that we've been focusing on and highlighting this morning. I encourage you, brethren and sisters, persevere in the work. Persevere in the work among the children. There's times you'll feel discouraged that you'll want to quit, you'll want to give up. The great apostle Peter felt like that. He was going to go back to the fishing. I go a-fishing. I remind you again, brethren and sisters, that's exactly what the devil wants. Wants us to give up. Wants you to give up. Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Not just in the good times, the days of blessing, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whenever Christopher Columbus was sailing to find the Americas, sailing across the Atlantic, for days on end, there was no sight of land. He said, he recorded in the ship's log, it was so discouraging. There was talk of mutiny. Men were getting afraid, getting unsettled. Talk of mutiny against Columbus on the ship. And this is what he wrote day after day in the ship's log. Sailed on. And brethren and sisters, even in days of discouragement, as you look around and there's no sight, as it were, of land, no sight of the blessing, no sight of what you're looking for, just sail on. Who knows what God just has over the horizon for you. Persevere in the work. I remind you, just as I finish, D.L. Moody was used of God to win multitudes to Christ. They described the ministry of D.L. Moody by saying he put one foot on North America and he put another foot in the United Kingdom, Great Britain, and he shook them both for God, moved them for the Lord. But never forget, brethren and sisters, children's worker, Sunday school teacher, youth worker in this meeting, never forget, it was a timid Sunday school teacher that won the great D.L. Moody for Christ, Edward Kimball. Never forget his name. Edward Kimball went to that shoe shop nervous and fearful, but with a burden on his heart to win the soul of that young man to Christ. And he stepped that day into that shoe shop and just simply said to D.L. Moody, and he prayed about it for days, "I'm concerned for you." And Moody thought to himself that day, "Well, if he's concerned for me, I should be concerned for myself." And that troubled them. So you see, just a simple word of testimony that's bathed in prayer, brethren and sisters, from someone not very gifted, someone that was nervous even to open their mouth. What great fruit God bestowed upon it. So remember, you do not know who you have in your class, in your meeting, children's meeting or youth meeting. You don't know what plans God has for some of those children, those young people in coming days. So don't allow the devil to cause you to give up. Focus, brethren and sisters, let us refocus as a congregation on feeding the lambs, gathering the children, gathering the young people into the house of God. May the Lord bless his word, write it today upon every heart. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, 669, our closing hymn. Out in the desert, dark and drear, calling the lambs who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. 669, I'll go down to the door after the first verse. If you're not able to wait for the communion, you'll be able to leave the service after the singing of that first verse. But we do encourage as many as possible to wait for a little while, please. So 669, and we're standing to sing.